from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik. And for his third to last show with us.
I don't know if I like the way you said that.
Reginald Attitude.
Is that going to be all week here?
Well, I mean, it's just today, Thursday, and Friday, right?
But you're going to do this every day, huh?
Yeah.
Reggie's leaving
y'all. Sorry, does that 3 days inconvenience you?
Yeah, man. Yes. You're inconveniencing us by leaving.
You're going to hate
Friday's
show.
You're useless. You've done this with about 7 producers.
I think it's more than that, actually.
I never cared for him as much as I care for you, Reggie.
Oh, all right, man. Can I get you to write that down?
Parker. It's on radio. It's recorded. You can just...
That's true. All right, I'll send it to
you. Sorry, I was too aggressive there.
Is this what you're bringing to the show today?
I don't know what's happening on my screen right now. Everything's broken.
Okay.
All right, I got it. We're good, guys.
Like Chuma's toe.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, breaking news from Bobby moments ago.
Yeah, on the other side, Chuma Edoga, he's Bobby Belt, is reporting. Well, other people might try to take credit. The Chuma Edoga has a broken toe and will be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change?
No.
Any? Okay.
Changes absolutely nothing.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if from a backup perspective, you're like, I'm going to give a better look to this, and then maybe once Chuma's healed, we'll just move on. Or you're like, hey, he might miss 2 weeks.
Awesome Richards is your potential backup at that spot now. Still, he was your kind of third swing offensive lineman, if you will. But that was kind of the plan anyway. Edoga, I mean, Guyton's your starter.
Sure.
Now, God forbid something happened to him, then we got problems.
Yeah, that's
but I mean, he's your starter. He's looked good. Even for a rookie, he's looked good. Even for a vet, he's starting to get to that point. So I'm very happy for that. Somebody just texted in Josh Ball time. I think that was a joke. I appreciate that joke. Kevin loves it.
It feels like he's been here for 8 years and literally never made any sort of impact whatsoever.
They have a lot of different tackle type options though to go there. Edoga was the one that was kind of leading the way, but Kevin, it was always a false sense of starter for him. It was he's going to be penciled in as your starter until Tyler Guyton takes it away. Kind of like Brock Hoffman and Cooper Beebe.
Okay.
Brock Hoffman's doing so well that Cooper Beebe, as good as he is, can't take the job from him right now because he was penciled in already and he's run with the job. So I think you're there right now. As far as backups go, they're going to look at some names just to make sure they have bodies available. But when do they start making cuts here? Next week?
Probably.
So they'll start keeping an eye out on what's going on around the league too.
Now, good question for Reggie right here. Who is a better quarterback, Dak Prescott or C.J. Stroud?
Who has the higher ceiling or at this moment? Let's just be spicy. I'll say C.J. Stroud.
Man.
C.J. Stroud got
you know that's the answer they want, and I just give the people what they want.
Did they win last? Who did they beat? Houston beat a team in the playoffs? Why am I forgetting this?
Was it Cleveland?
It was Cleveland.
Okay. Dang.
So he's already...
Well, he still needs one more win to match Dak's playoff
wins. All right. Let's move to the defense instead.
You know, just Dak has one more playoff win than he has one more playoff win than Trevor Lawrence.
Play out.
He has two more playoff wins than Caleb Williams.
How many less playoff wins than Mahomes?
So many. It's like you don't have enough fingers, I don't think.
It's true.
All right, let's talk about the defense instead.
All right.
Can't believe I didn't know this was going to happen.
I didn't know it was going to happen either.
Which Cowboys defender who didn't start last year or isn't a starter now do you think has the best chance to take a spot? Now, I realize this can be a complicated question because with rotational patterns, you might be like, well, that person's kind of a starter and blah, 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 blah.
Because it kind of depends on where you're putting Micah, right?
Sorry, that's my takeaway from, I was like, I get it. I watch the game.
It depends on what you're doing with Micah. Like when Micah drops into being the linebacker and drops into coverage, then it's Marshawn Nealon. He's going to be, now that's the other thing though, is when Micah drops into coverage, Marshawn Nealon will be pass rusher. And Marshawn Nealon so far is not showing to be a great pass rusher, but he's showing good in the run defense.
Right.
If you're listening to Broadus this morning, he's like, look, he's still got to work on a few things with his pass rush, learn to use his hands. But I think Nealon is the guy right now that you're saying you're just penciling him in and going, all right, he is going to take some of those roles as your, and I keep saying penciling, he's going to take those roles as your defensive end opposite DeMarcus Lawrence right now.
What about
maybe Chauncey Golston gets that opportunity? I'm not sure.
What about Mozzie and Damone Clark?
Who are the starters right now at defensive tackle?
That's Mozzie and
like Osa, right?
Yeah, and Osa.
Mozzie's really
and
like...
Justin Rogers looks good, so...
So Mozzie's going to have to play 50% of the snaps no matter what this year?
Some people will argue pretty hard for Justin Rogers over Mozzie. You've talked about it before. I know with the amount of investment made and this and that, he's going to get every opportunity. But with Jonathan Hankins taken off, clearly there's something to be had there.
Yeah, no, that was their goal was, all right, it's Mozzie's time to go do that. He can't take over every play. Like that dude's going to have to learn how to make it through a drive, you know, and he's going to have to learn how to make it through a couple. We were talking about that with Broadus yesterday. So, Damone Clark's starter. He's a starter, dude. He's there with Kendricks and Micah as your three linebackers whenever they go to that.
Yeah, and then where does Overshown factor in for you then? Because as we've talked about, the Cowboys have been using three linebackers a lot more in training camp.
When Micah's down on the defensive end spot instead of Nealon, then that's whenever you're going to see DeMarvion Overshown. And I don't think you lose speed there. I don't think you lose athleticism there. I think you have a guy that can go side to side from sideline to sideline very, very well. Actually, as a matter of fact, sometimes watching him during camp, I've seen him get to the spot faster than the running back, and he's passed it already. I love his speed and I love his physicality. DeMarvion Overshown will be in that grouping right there. This is something that, Kevin, I was concerned all offseason about the linebacker spot.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, you have three, maybe. And then the Cowboys, now I'm looking at this, they invested heavily, understanding that was a big problem for them. And they do have some depth there that I like.
Because do you think then Overshown, I'm not saying who will be the starter, just in terms of the depth that you were just talking about. Overshown, Leafau, Kendricks, Clark, Micah, at
Damian
times.
Wilson. Yeah, there's plenty of names back there to run with right now.
Hey, I was looking at Washington's page. Can we get John Ridgeway back?
Man, I think Dan Quinn's probably like, I'm very happy to have me some John Ridgeway.
We talked about this at the time, and I was really irritated because there were multiple people who were like, it makes no difference. And I was like, you're letting go of this person so Dak can sit in the meetings. That's essentially why. Because they didn't want to put him on IR, but they knew he wasn't going to play. And so it was so he could be in the meetings. And people were like, he's just this pick, blah, 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 won't matter. He's turned out to be a quality NFL player at a spot that you're like, yes, I would like more quality NFL players.
If you had Ridgeway for 35% of the snaps, that would be good, right?
Yeah, or maybe you don't even draft Mozzie to begin with. I have no idea.
I'm interested in the cornerback spot because are you bought in that Jordan Lewis is your starter?
Yes.
At
a nickel.
Now,
yeah.
I know there was a time that the G-Bag, Bobby, they were all trying to figure out how to keep Deron Bland in the slot. So they were pulling for Carson to get, they're actually pulling for the rookie to take that job on the opposite side of Trayvon Diggs.
Okay.
But then whenever you kind of see it, the Cowboys really do like what Jordan Lewis provides. And so I think Carson's going to get his time at some point. The dude's a straight baller, man. He can play. But right now, I think you're pretty set at those three spots on your cornerbacks.
I like the idea that you force somebody like Jordan Lewis to be a backup. I'm not saying he's going to be a backup, but if you're telling me, like, we have somebody who we feel is so talented that Jordan Lewis is going to have to be the backup, that's what I like. The other one I was going to throw out there, and I realize with Wilson and Hooker, you feel like the safety spot is set. I think Wanya Thomas is going to take over at some point.
Did
now,
you, Kevin,
I'm willing to crash and burn on this opinion, but
how sad were you whenever he was running across the field and decided to make it pretty to try and get that interception?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to go get this one. And
yeah, who cares what it looks like? Just go get the ball.
All I was thinking whenever that play happened, all I was thinking to myself was, Kevin's got to be furious right now because that could have been his moment.
Absolutely.
Been five.
And he's all over the place. And so I think at some point, now, I hope it's just because he's like, this kid is so freaking good. Well, this man is so freaking good that we have to get him on the field more. But I think Wanya Thomas, maybe not out of the gate, I think he's going to just force himself into the lineup.
And I think that that's in part because this feels like the best safety, one of the best safety groups in the league.
I can see that.
Obviously, you have your starters, but you mentioned Wanya. Don't forget, Marquise Bell is there, and he, like, it's kind of wild because he goes from being a dude who had to start a whole bunch out of position, but now he goes back to being a backup again. But all of those instincts and all those things that he has still exist in that player.
Look good in the preseason game, too.
And that makes me wonder if they don't utilize some more big nickel out of those situations, but not just because they want to be, you know, fast range, but because they want to get those particular guys on the field. Also because, you know, cornerback, when it comes to DB depth, isn't as deep.
You know that what's interesting about that, I'm with you about how good I think the safety group is, but people don't seem to think there is a standout Dallas Cowboys safety, right? They're like, oh yeah, no, he's good, he's good, he's good, but none of them are top echelon per the league. And I have to say, I don't mind it if you're like, well, this is a spot where you're just going to have lots of depth and maybe not like unbelievable standout players accepted.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have a standout cornerback. Yep. I mean, you might have two of them.
Two.
We'll see if Deron Bland can replicate that this season, too. So you might have two of those there. And you can't have a star at every position. You got to hope that some of those fifth round picks or those undrafted guys step up and make something big happen.
Agreed. 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 Now, I know Mike McCarthy a couple weeks ago was like, hey, we haven't even started talking about our 53 yet, but I still think this is a fascinating exercise. David Moore from the Dallas Morning News has put together.
What? I'm listening.
Okay.
It's David Moore, so I feel like it's important because he's the first one that gets asked questions.
That is true. He took a first shot or another shot at the 53-man roster, and I wanted to bounce through just a couple positions where maybe you'd be like, that sounds right. At the running back position, Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle, Royce Freeman, and Hunter Lipke. Now, obviously, that would eliminate Malik Davis and Deuce Vaughn. I realize it was a long shot.
Deuce has the hamstring right now.
Snoop Connor to begin with.
Deuce has the hamstring, Kevin, and I told you the other day, my mind is kind of broken on this idea that these things can happen. That's bad for him right now, but it could keep him kind of around.
Yeah.
Whenever other people start to get cut and he's still around. Snoop is one of those guys that watching him every time, every practice, he makes a play that you're like,
yes,
wow.
He does.
Fun. How did he do that? But yeah, I feel like that's the trio that they're going to run with. It's not the most talented trio on the planet, but it's what the Cowboys have. And offensively, their offense is going to revolve around trying to feed the ball to CeeDee Lamb and Ferguson anyway, and then trying to see if they can get downfield to Cooks. But that's what this team is. I don't think they're going to be we're stuck on running first all the time, the offense.
And you have seen some more looks with Lipke here and there. For the wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, and Jalen Brooks. I can't say anything shocking there, except for I know some people have been pushing for Cropper, and you have another injury in your wide receiver core, and then I'd just be bummed for T-Billy because he's made some stuff happen out there, and he wants
it. He needs some opportunities.
He does.
On, like, in the, not just on special teams. He didn't get opportunities in the offense on Sunday. So Flournoy would be bumped down to practice squad. What about your guy, Racy McMath?
He's dinged up a little bit too, yeah.
Racy McMath, Kevin, like McMath is the dude. He's got the name. It's Racy.
Okay, but if we're talking about
McMath, the name you love.
We're talking about stocks that rose or fell in the preseason game. Unfortunately,
nope.
I feel like McMath
did not do anything.
Not his finest.
No catches
right
on three targets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them was just like a flat out drop.
Yes.
So you're saying you can't just live on name alone, is what you're saying.
Yes. If he was like a second round pick, then he could.
Sounds like he went to the school of Ronald McDonald. We're taking McMath. We're taking McScience. We're taking McHistory. We're taking McTheology.
Oh, man. McTheology in high school. I like it.
Kevin, do you think he'd be better if his name was Modest McMath?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. They're like, we're going to go conservative. He'll be on our short packages. So that does make a lot
maybe
of sense.
Maybe advanced math, trigonometry.
From the 214, y'all know CeeDee Lamb don't play here no more, right? He's still here. No.
What does that even mean?
He's still under contract.
No.
The
Cowboys can still control him for 3 more years. Look, if they move on from him, we'll definitely talk about that a lot. But I would be stunned
if that happened. Stunned.
You said yesterday that's not going to happen.
Retiring.
That's Micah. We'll talk about that more later. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we could talk a little Red Sox Rangers, but also projecting the ultimate 2028 Team USA Baseball Olympic roster, if the commissioner allows it. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Here's a 1-0 to Frelick. Swinging a bouncer onto third. Hayes gloves. Throw to first. Got him. 7 no-hit innings for Paul Skeens in Milwaukee.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Wanted to build the ultimate 2028 Team USA Baseball Olympic roster if Rob Manfred goes ahead and says it's fine. But also we can talk about the Rangers and the Red Sox if you want. Or we can push that off as long as conceivably possible because it was another depressing game.
Let's talk about the Olympics.
Yes! All right. So baseball will be in the next Olympics, not breakdancing. I don't know if that's like what they
said. Oh, breakdancing is out?
Breakdancing will not,
be a one-time thing
in 2028. It's probably not going to be in 2032. I don't know if the feedback to this will...
But Ray Gun will live forever.
Yes, Ray Gun will live forever.
How often do they do that where they bring an event in and then don't do it again?
Yeah, they have a committee that meets before like every Olympics to figure
Google
out new sports.
Why do you ask us impossible questions?
Oh, I felt like
I know you ain't talking. Of all the people,
Reggie's in his last week and he's like, you know what,
man.
I'm saying all the things today.
Holy moly.
What's your question, Kevin?
All right, so if you were building the American team in 2028, like the one that's your best shot to win,
Shohei Ohtani,
Luca,
hold on, in baseball. And would Shohei Ohtani not play for America?
He can naturalize.
I guess that's true. Assuming
Joel Embiid.
Okay, assuming nobody goes out and picks up a dual citizenship along the way.
So you just don't want people to become American?
No, I think they should become American if that's what they want.
How? What's your policy?
Walk in, I think.
And that's why I didn't want to get into this at all. But in the meantime, let's just assume that nobody does follow that path to join this Olympic team.
So we're 4 years out. We have to consider that age drop-off that potentially happens, right? Because, that was one of the first thoughts I had was Mookie, but I'm like, Mookie's getting to that place.
I guess why Langford?
Adley Rutschman is your catcher. That's an easy one.
Adley Rutschman would be... your most likely catcher. You know what's crazy, though? And I know this is still really young, but by then he'll be 30. And you're like, man, you just freaking got here, you know? But
oh, so our catcher we just drafted from Stanford.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'll stick with Adley Rutschman.
Paul Skeens.
I feel good about that.
That's a good pitcher.
Good answer. Good answer.
That's okay, a good
if
pitcher.
If we could go...
Hopefully.
Is he not American?
He is.
He went to LSU, but he is American.
Wait, what?
Why did you say but?
Well, like the Bayou State.
They don't sound very American. You saw Deadpool Gambit talks different.
They sound different.
So do you think all? Never mind. Nope. Never mind.
Yep. Yeah. Good job.
We're gonna try to go in a logical order. We'll get
pitcher
to pitcher.
Is one.
Yeah. Paul Skeens and throwing to Adley Rutschman.
Okay.
One,
down.
Two.
Now. All right. Paul Skeens works. He will be 26 by the time the Olympics come around. He'll probably finish.
Tarek Skubal's our lefty.
Okay. I only have one.
Who's our closer
on this list?
Oh, great. We're playing one.
Are there
game?
Good young
There's
first baseman?
There's no way this team's going to win with just
I'll
one
I'll tell you
pitcher.
What. First base stinks in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I was like, are there good young first basemen? Because they
Vlad
don't come
Guerrero
to mind.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. is having a great year, but he's not American. He's Canadian, I think. I think he was.
Are we doing first base now?
He might have been born in Canada.
Okay, don't have a clue on first base. I don't have a
clue. Why do you look mad? We're having a legitimate conversation about the topic.
Not Spencel Torkelson.
I'm not mad. I'm enjoying Mike having a discussion with himself about the origins of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's like, yeah, he's born in Canada. Whoa, man. I think he was.
Yeah, he's born in Montreal.
Okay.
Damn. So he's Canadian.
There you go.
All right. First base, we forfeit.
Okay, well, CBS decided the bold strategy of not forfeiting and putting a player at that position. They went with Tristan Casas.
Oh, yeah, he was on my fantasy team. He played four games this
Who
year.
Who is that?
He's for the Red Sox. He
I don't
was
think
a
so.
First round pick in 2018. Yes.
He got off to a decent start this year and then blew out something.
He'll be 28 by the time we get to the summer of 2028.
Maybe he'll be healthy. We have any better options there?
No, that's
that
how
we're stuck
that's how bad first
Alex Burleson.
Can I tell you who I think could be?
Wyatt Langford.
Corey Seager.
Oh, yeah. How old would he be then?
He's American.
He'd be like 35. Is he 31 right now? He might be 30. Is he 30 or 30?
He is 30 years of age.
So he'd be 34 playing first base.
Yeah.
At 34, he ain't going to be playing shortstop.
All right. So
he already played for Team America once too, right?
Yeah.
That was in the World Baseball Classic. All right, so we're going to make an executive decision.
Oh, Tristan, Bryce Harper is also
first
a first baseman now. Yeah. Bryce Harper's a first baseman now.
That's true. Harp.
Yeah, we're going to get to him.
He might be old.
Oh, Seager, we might DH Seager, him is DH. What you're looking at.
Okay. Oh, Seager. We don't know how Seager's going to handle the mitt at first.
So there's your options. Seager for one, Harper for the other. Well, how do you want to set up first base versus DH? Because Bryce Harper will be 35. Corey Seager will be 34. Which one do you want where?
Sure.
Whoever can still hit.
Well,
I bet Corey Seager has better hands than Bryce. Bryce Harper's done a good job of transitioning to first, but I will go with Corey Seager because he has shortstop hands.
Okay. Second base.
Ketel Marte's not American.
Well, I was going to say Betts, but
he is
he'll be
American?
50.
No.
You're looking at me. I was
no,
like,
I was going to see what you think about this selection.
Oh, what about Bazan? Oh, shoot. He's not. Bazanza's from Australia or something.
Bazinga?
Yeah. Bonanza. I don't. He was the first pick in the draft.
What about Jackson Holliday?
Is he good?
Oh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Because you know what I'm going to do? We haven't got to it, but I'm getting to it now. I think Witt and Gunnar Henderson are short and third.
Okay.
It's just a matter of which one do you want playing third. But those are our two guys playing that position.
This one has it set up as Gunnar Henderson at third and Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop. And this should be the prime part of your fielding and your lineup because Gunnar Henderson will be 27. Bobby Witt will be 28. They're both phenomenal right now, probably both top four MVP for the American League. And you got to think they're getting better.
Yes.
Over the next 4 years.
I would
assume. That's what I would assume.
I would assume in the next 4 years, both of them have a MVP.
So no Josh Young?
No, he has
he could
trouble
be a,
saying,
to be honest, he could be a backup.
No Sebastian Walcott?
I'm not ready to make that projection.
Curacao?
For Sebastian Walcott either. All right. Who is in the outfield?
I think Aaron Judge 4 years from now will still be relevant.
Okay. I think that is accurate. And
if
so
if
does,
not, it'd be a DH.
So does CBS. He'll be 36, but I mean, he's going to win. It looks like he could win MVP this year.
Sebastian Walcott's Bahamian, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to throw Wyatt Langford, Dylan Cruz into that idea.
Ooh, okay.
They could be.
As
I really hope so.
Options.
What about
if Evan Carter's healthy? I would throw him in the mix, but
Corbin
I would throw
Carroll.
Corbin Carroll's a really good option.
But I mean, So did Evan Carter.
All right, so this is what I want to pick y'all's brains about. CBS went with Riley Green and James Wood as their selection.
The actor?
Six foot seven, gigantic. Like, he is huge for the Nationals. This dude is... He's going to be an awesome player.
But there's a whole bunch of other selections as alternates. Corbin Carroll, Evan Carter, Colton Cowser, Dylan Cruz, Jarrett Duran. Whoops.
What did you just say?
Michael Harris, Wyatt Langford, Kyle Tucker. So it feels like there's hopefully some selections. But honestly, right now, if you were picking, don't you think Wyatt Langford would be more likely than Evan Carter just because of health?
At this point, yeah, the back is very scary. Will it ever really be able to handle 162 games or a full season? I don't know. At this point, I don't know. And, you know, I guess I'd look at it in their amount of time in the major leagues, Evan Carter has been way more successful.
Yeah.
But it's the back thing, right? Because if we're just going off of, hey, what have they done against major leaguers? Evan Carter has been superior to Wyatt Langford.
You go Wyatt as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I got a couple more questions for you as we move into the next part. So how do you feel about that lineup? If we're able to set it like that, I know we didn't dive super into pitching.
We're finishing bronze.
Like Mike.
I think there's going to be other teams that have a lot better
in the
players.
World Baseball Classic, the Dominican Republic always looks like they're a good team, and they get hammered.
Puerto Rico looks pretty good a lot of times. Like,
yeah, their depth isn't great, though, but they do have, obviously, Francisco Lindor, and they've had Salvador Perez.
Edwin Diaz at one point, and then he got hurt.
I think Salvador Perez is Venezuelan.
So, yeah.
But Japan is going to be a very good team. Obviously, Dominican Republic is going to be good. Puerto Rico will be solid. Canada, they got a few guys.
We just found out they have Vlad. They could have Vlad if they want.
They could. It doesn't matter which country he wants to play for. He's the Joel Embiid of the Major League Baseball.
So I had a couple of questions for you guys about where these players will finish. Right now,
in Canada.
Aaron Judge
technically correct.
Is on pace for 57 home runs.
Oh.
Do you think he'll end with more or less than 57 home runs?
The wall of takes says Aaron Judge can't do it, and I circled 63, I believe, or 62. Yeah, I don't think he can do it. I don't think he can get past 57.
Okay,
I think he. I'm going to go above.
How far?
I don't think 63. I think I'll go 60.
Okay, Shohei Ohtani right now is on pace for 48 home runs and 44 steals.
He'll get 40-40 for sure.
Okay. Is there any chance he could have a 50-50 season?
Yes.
Okay. How likely do you think that is?
20%. How many stolen bases is he projected to get?
44.
That's the tough part. Is he, let's just say he gets to 48 home runs on September 15th. That gives you plenty of time to hit two more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That would be a lot that he would hit in a hurry right now. But I think if he feels like he can get to 50 home runs, then I think he can go, I can easily get 50 bags. I just need to now up. I need to, when I get on base, I'm stealing.
How crazy would that be if somebody who obviously we know now is a combination player is like, my full-time hitting season, I became the first 50-50 person ever. Like, all of a sudden now I'm like, the hell with Babe Ruth and everybody else. This is who, they're just the best.
Is he going to steal bases like that too when he's pitching?
No.
No.
This is the year.
How long can his body do, like...
They think after this surgery, people think like 3 to 5 more years of pitching.
Okay.
And then probably after that, his arm will probably
fall off,
deteriorate on him. But he's so athletic and so talented hand-eye coordination that you're like, all right, that's fine. Like DH or it's weird. People keep saying this like, why don't they put him at first base or the outfield this year? And I'm like, dude, he had Tommy John surgery. He can't throw a baseball.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You put him at first base, there's relays home. There's sometimes double play balls where you have to throw to second.
Elly De La Cruz is on pace for 81 stolen bases.
That saddens me because I thought when he was here in Arlington, I thought he had a chance for 100.
How long do you think it's been since somebody's stolen 80 bases in a season?
Oh, I would guess Ricky
Henderson.
3 decades?
Very good. It's been since 1988. So 36 years. Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman were the last ones to have 80 plus. Will Elly De La Cruz get to 80 plus stolen bases? He's on pace for 81.
Yes.
What is that smile?
Yeah. I think he'll get 100 in his career.
He's just
career
so happy thinking about steals.
He's going to get on base at a better rate as his career progresses. And when he does that, I think he will be our... I don't know the last time who stole 100 bases. It's going to have to be Ricky, right? Or Vince Coleman.
Yeah, one of those two I'd have to go
so
check.
I think he will get to 100 bags. Will we look at it going, it's awesome, love it. Just like Shohei, love that he could be a 40-40 guy. And last year he had a 40-70 guy in Acuna. I don't think we're going to look at it as like, oh, but they made the bases bigger and they shortened the distance.
Do we have time for one more?
Heck yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. is on pace for 225 hits. He'd be the first player in 10 years to hit that mark. Do you think he'll get it?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was it like Miguel Cabrera?
It was Jose Altuve.
Oh, he needs to get it then.
I just wanted to say real quick, I'm sorry, I'm jumping back to De La Cruz real quick. He leads the league in strikeouts at 160
now. He'll get better. Yeah. Now, he is a long, you know, it's
swing. Like 11 more than anybody
else. He's
going
to get better. I think this is a bad comparison because we're doing Bobby Witt Jr. right now.
Okay, gotcha.
Talking about him. He's not maybe going to get to Bobby Witt Jr. hitting 340-something and 225 hits. But Bobby Witt Jr. last year, his on-base percentage was still under 320 at 23 years old. Now at 24 years old, it's close to 400. I think Elly De La Cruz is going to have a progression.
He's at 350 right now. Yeah,
yeah, and so I think like next year it could be like 365. The next year it could be 375. And if he gets on base more, he can steal more bags.
Well, he was 300 last year.
Yes.
So he's 350 now. So it means he has to be 400 next year and then 450,
that
500.
That is one way to look at it. So Bobby Witt Jr. also has no more games against the White Sox and he has been annihilating
225,
them.
I will say no, but 200, yes.
Okay. Which is still obviously very impressive.
This is the Michael Young.
Decent.
Decent. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
All right. Based off of the Rangers, will hitting ever change or is it always going to be this bad the rest of our lives?
Oh,
next.
No.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Time for some baseball nuggets with Mike Bashek.
All right. Hitting, by the way,
Am I right?
If you're ever a little bit bored right now, go to YouTube and type in This Week in Baseball. This is the theme song. If you're younger, this is the theme song to This Week in Baseball, which started in 1977. And it kind of died as Mel Allen, I don't know if he passed away or just went away from the show. I know he's not alive now. I don't know what year he died. But when Mel Allen left, it just didn't feel the same. They tried forever to carry on This Week in Baseball, and it just didn't work out. But it's great to go back and watch This Week in Baseball because literally it was the way as a kid we knew what in the world was happening around baseball besides watching HSE and our Texas Rangers. Now, I go to hitting. And back in This Week in Baseball days, guys could hit. And I'm not saying guys can't hit now, but in general, watching the Rangers go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, you're like, man, everybody's the best pitcher in the world, I guess. I went back. Well, I won't say I went back yet. I'll go to today's game. Right now, there are 11 teams that have a batting average of 250 or better. In all of baseball, there's 11 teams that have a batting average of 250 or better. The highest team is the Padres at 265. That's the best batting average team in Major League Baseball. I think this number is shocking. There are 9 guys in Major League Baseball right now. As of today, going into play, there are 9 guys in Major League Baseball batting 300 or better. Only 9
guys?
9.
9 guys.
Is the total. Now, my question to you before I get into the history of baseball is, do I just have to get used to this, that it's even going to get worse? That if you bat, will it be 5 years from now, only 3 guys bat 300 or better in Major League Baseball, and only 2 teams bat 250 or better in Major League Baseball? Are we going to get to that? Because I'm not crazy about how offense has just died in the game of baseball.
I kind of wonder if you will. Like, I realize Ichiro is a magical player, but I was thinking about the hit total thing we talked about with Bobby Witt. Ichiro had hit seasons of 242, 262, 238, and Bobby Witt is hoping to become the first person in 10 years to get to 225. So it does kind of feel like you might have to say goodbye unless something drastic happens.
Agents are the ones in the ears of the players a lot of times, right? That's like you rely on that agent and your contract and everything, and they know that home runs get the money.
Yep.
So they're going to be convincing their guys to do everything you can to be a hitter, because a home run hitter, nobody's paying 300 without power. And now that's the hope. Like, that's what you really want. You want Miggy type guys, dudes that can hit for power but also hit for like 330. But that's just, it's very rare, because everybody's swing now is tailored to hit home runs, not tailored to be a good hitter.
Yeah, but the issue with that is those are, like we were looking at in the break, the 9 guys that are hitting over 300. 7 of those 9 guys are the guys that you're talking about, the Miggy type guys that have that kind of big swing with that power, but then they also put the ball in play a whole bunch. There's only 2 guys that you would think of as like a conventional contact hitter. We've just kind of litigated, or maybe just we've analyzed this out of the sport, the idea of contact for the sake of contact. All the contact now has to be in service of power. And I understand, like, power matters, right? Extra bases matter, but it feels like we've lost any level of value, or maybe we've gone to a place where we've completely underrated the idea of contact in the game.
So the 2 players that I think about that, one now, one before, is Luis Arraez, just feeling like he's just a guy. And then whenever you would hear the conversation,
very similar numbers to Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, okay.
But we do not compare him to Tony Gwynn.
And that's the other person. And I'm not saying y'all said this, but how many times do you hear like, oh, would people even take a look at Tony Gwynn even in today's game? And
you're probably like, be traded 5
that
times.
That feels crazy to me, but those are the 2 that I thought of.
How do managers want that guy, but GMs don't?
It matters who the manager is. Okay. I'm going to compare these 2. I'm going to compare the last 2 managers for the Rangers, Chris Woodward and Bruce Bochy.
Because Boch wouldn't, Woody wouldn't, right?
Yeah, Woody wouldn't. Remember, we talked to Woody. Woody was strictly analytics. Yeah. It was 100% analytics and nothing else, which is fine. There's certain guys that are that way in Major League Baseball as managers. They do not want to have a feel for the game. They want to go strictly by just give me the computer program,
yep,
print it out, and I will read the numbers and make the according adjustments. Tell me what lineup the computer puts out against this type of pitcher with this stuff, and I will just do it. This is very simple. I'm just going to do what the computer tells me to do. And there are people that are hired by certain general managers that their job is to follow the computer program. And then there's Boach, who's like, I love the computer program. Don't get me wrong, but there has to be more than just the computer program, right? Because computers aren't playing the game. We're not doing this based off of if we simulated a season on MLB The Show. It's great to do, and it does give you a printout of, hey, the Rangers will probably win, which they probably won't this year. The Rangers will probably win 82 games. I think that's what the computer program said they would do this year, and we were disappointed that the computer program would say that. And honestly, probably not even going to get to that computer program of what they thought over 162 simulated millions of times. This is what we have the Rangers most likely to do. And so there are certain people who just believe, just let the computer program do it. The problem is there haven't been super success stories in that situation. I will say this. I love Dave Roberts. I think Dave Roberts has a feel for the game. But I do think Dave Roberts and the Dodgers do go with a lot of computer programming situations.
Yeah.
They do have real scouts, and they are scouting real human beings. This is why they get so much talent. They have real coaches who are really coaching. But not to get too far off topic here, but the Rangers are batting .238 as a team. Which is
good?
20th in Major League Baseball. Okay, I just gave you 11 teams are batting .250 or better this year. The Rangers are 20th at .238. Now let's just go to the last year I can check this. 2002 on ESPN. I was going to go to 2001, but the last year that they'll let you go to is 2002. The 20th team in baseball in 2002 was the New York Mets in batting average. They were batting .256. There are 25 teams in 2002 who batted .250 or better as a team. So if you were a player in 2002 and you weren't batting .250, not sure if you can hit in this league. And I'm just going off of batting average, and I get batting average is not the major stat of today's game. It's obviously it's OPS. On base plus slugging. You're on base and then you're slugging. All it is you add up those two numbers and that gives you your OPS, your on base plus slugging. But you look at just the game of baseball. In 2002, the Pirates were the worst team hitting in baseball. What were the Rangers this year right now? 20th at .238.
Okay.
Pirates .244. Worst team in baseball.
And we still got plenty of teams below us.
Yeah. You're 20th. Now, when you go to individuals, there were 35 guys in 2002 who hit .300 or better. Now there's 9?
Yeah.
So you would have approximately 1 per team. Now you have 1 per every 3 teams? And Sandler talked about this around the All-Star break, and just like we might need to change the rules, whether we move the mound back, whether we move the mound down, is then I brought up that point. David Robertson brought up a good point that it's going to get worse because now that you play the Dodgers every year and, you know, like you don't have the schedule where you're playing a team 18 times. Well, the more you see a pitcher, usually the hitter starts gaining an advantage of, hey, I've faced this guy now 6 different times this year. So in September, I've seen this guy. This guy also is maybe more fatigued.
But his now stuff won't be somebody.
But now totally you'll be like, I've never faced this dude. We've never faced this team. Advantage pitcher when the hitter has not seen you that much. But to finish this up, and I know what Barry Bonds was doing in 2002 to help this out. His on base percentage was .582.
Wow.
You said his slugging percentage?
His slugging percentage was .799.
Oh, okay.
Holy moly.
That's pretty decent.
His on base was .552. If you have an on base of .400, you are amazing. In fact, I don't have it pulled up. I don't know how many guys did that. I just clicked on this. On base percentage of .400 and better in 2002, 20 guys had an on base of better than or 400 or better. I'm just going to click on base percentage. How many guys? There are two guys. They both play on the same team. Aaron Judge and Juan Soto have an on-base percentage of 400 or better. There's only two.
Wow.
Does it feel like what's happening here is that because, like, that, like, you know, let's just think of like a tool belt, right? The hammer ends up being the most valuable tool, and everybody in trying to maximize is like, all we have is hammers, but then no longer do you have the situational hitting for all the other things where you might need a screwdriver or you might need pliers, and those things have been gotten out of the tool belt because they're not as valuable as a hammer. Does that feel like a fair way of describing it?
Yeah, I do think that's a fair way of describing it.
Yeah, we've gone way overboard in power, and now I wear the short shirt that says baseball isn't boring, and I do love baseball, but, and I think it's later in the show. Do you have this later
at
in
noon,
the show?
Yeah.
At noon, I'll tease this. At noon, we talk about, hey, watching the Rangers. You having fun? Next. Well, not next. That's at noon.
At noon. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.